DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
A second wave of explosions rocked Lebanon's south, killing 20 people and wounding more than 450 after handheld walkie-talkie radios used by the militant group Hezbollah detonated. Now, these explosions have been described by a Hezbollah official as the biggest security breach in the group's history. Joining me now to talk about this is Professor David Dunn, Professor of International Politics at the University of Birmingham. David, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, we've already seen something of Israel's taking advantage of what might be a communications blackout within Hezbollah because there have been multiple bombings overnight.
Indeed, and that of course was the aim of this extraordinary, audacious operation that they've planned for years as a way of destroying their communications network, of targeting Hezbollah operatives and effectively and literally blinding them, allowing Israel to actually have a military advantage. Now, the big question is whether that military advantage is one that's going to be limited to the strikes we've seen overnight, or whether this is the portent of actually a major attack on Hezbollah in Lebanon.
Now, Netanyahu has declared that he wants northern Israel to be safe for Israeli citizens to return to their homes because he wants to eliminate the possibility, I suppose, of Hezbollah rocket attacks over the border. But, I mean, it can never be truly safe, can it?
Well, that's the wider paradox of this whole situation, is that Israel is trying to eliminate its enemies to make itself safe rather than actually getting an agreement with its enemies not to attack it. But there is, as you say, the stepping up of the rhetoric accompanied by the cell phone or the page of attacks, in that Israel is demanding that its northern territories that they have evacuated be safe. There's only two ways that can happen. They can try and destroy the missiles that are targeted on northern Israel, or there can be some agreement for those missiles to be withdrawn diplomatically, which is a big ask on Hezbollah's or Lebanon's part. So really we're at a point where what we seem to be escalating towards a decision point as to whether that will be diplomatic or whether that will be military remains to be seen.
Is it likely that Israel will literally go into Lebanon and try to occupy land and therefore depriving Hezbollah of those launch sites?
Well, again, that is a realistic possibility, and it's what Israel has done on three occasions before, most recently in 2006. The argument being that they can't eliminate the use of these rockets unless there's a ground operation accompanying air and rocket attacks on that territory. But of course, that has the prospect of escalating the war, not just into Lebanon, but more broadly than that, because Iran is the main proxy, the main supporter of the proxy, Hezbollah and Hamas, and of course the Houthis in Yemen as well as that. So that the conflict could go wider than just even Lebanon if Israel decides to do that.
Now, the messaging to those people living in northern Israel, and music to the ears, I presume, of those who support the right-wing government, is, it's a message that will do Netanyahu no political harm in that quarter. But generally speaking, a widening of the war would not be greeted with widespread jubilation by the majority of Israelis, one imagines.
And again, as another paradox there, is that most people in Israel do not want the war to widen. Most people in Israel do not support the prime minister, who is deeply unpopular. But his position is he is kept as prime minister by virtue of the fact that the war continues. If the war comes to an end, or whenever it comes, the war comes to an end, he will, his position will be difficult, and he suffers the prospect of being prosecuted for illegal actions. So he has an interest in keeping the war going as long as possible to sustain his own position, and that is part of the motivation behind him seeking to potentially escalate this conflict.
It seems outlandish that one individual, to save his own skin, would be responsible for the deaths and maiming of so many thousands of people in Gaza and now in Lebanon.
But that is the history of warfare. That many regimes, if you go back to Galtieri in the Falklands crisis 40 years ago, the regimes often act in order to save their skin by seeking an external enemy and a conflict that seeks the United Nations around a foreign threat in order to actually maintain their position. But that does seem to be what's happening here. And he also seems intent on influencing the American election, because the conflict in the Middle East that widens is more likely to get Trump in the White House. And of course, he wants Trump in the White House because he sees Trump as more likely to back him and an aggressive policy from Israel than a democratic administration.
And yet, so, yes, Trump himself is doing the same sort of thing, determined to get into the White House to make his legal troubles go away.
Indeed, actually, it's extraordinary that we have this situation across the piece, and it's even more extraordinary that voters still are willing to support people like Donald Trump as a consequence of that motivation.
Now, you said at the beginning that this audacious act by Mossad was years in the planning, and we've had two different companies implicated in the manufacture of the devices. It seems a Japanese company is being deemed to be responsible for the manufacture of the walkie-talkies, which were discontinued from its product line 10 years ago, and therefore they say they don't have any export records of such walkie-talkies going to the Middle East, but they could be counterfeits.
So what we're seeing is, there's a New York Times are reporting this morning that Israel effectively took over and created, took over the manufacture of these discontinued walkie-talkies and pagers, set up a shell company, manufactured them, sold legitimate projects to products in order to establish a credibility, and then sold these devices with explosives hidden in them to Hezbollah. So an extraordinarily well-planned and executed Trojan horse project has been described as, to get these explosives into the hands of Hezbollah. So it's probably nothing to do with the original companies. It's actually the Israeli state using the reputation of those previous companies and the brand names of those companies for its own products to put them in the hands of Hezbollah to effectively have this policy of an eye for an eye. And it was, of course, a policy designed to blind people, having they made the device ring, so they held them up to their faces and it blew up in their faces. And so we're having reports of thousands of people being losing eyes and having their sight lost as a consequence of this strategy. So it's an extraordinary, audacious piece of tradecraft. It's the sort of thing you find in science fiction, but it's been executed by Mossad as part of this operation.
Well, given that ICOM, the Japanese company which made the walkie-talkies, presumably has a good reputation, maybe not anymore, but even though it's not their fault. But the device in question is the ICV-82, and it's possible that people in Ireland, people in Britain, actually have bought and used these devices quite safely, given were legitimately manufactured until 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I think people should be reassured that these devices are probably legitimate things, and it's not something intrinsic to the device. It's the devices that were impregnated with explosives that were shipped to Hezbollah that have the potential to blow up in your face, and not something which was an ordinary pager or walkie-talkie.
So we had scenes yesterday described of people pulling batteries out of walkie-talkies or even discarding the walkie-talkies into the trash. What it certainly has done, in addition to inflicting injury and death on people, it has created enormous paranoia, I would imagine, about every electronic device that someone might have in their home or their car.
Yeah, it's a really interesting side effect of this. I mean, it's also interesting to note that the reason why that Hezbollah went to using walkie-talkies and pagers is that they recognized that actually mobile phones have the capacity to be traced and to listen in to your conversations, and even the Hezbollah fighters, that their sons and daughters and wives were told to bury or destroy their mobile phones because of the capacity that the mobile phones have to listen in or to identify where they are. And that is the mobile phone aspect of that is a feature of the modern world. Pagers and walkie-talkies, however, are an older technology that don't have that capacity. But of course, it's now going to make us look at things differently. Whether that's justified or not, of course, is another matter.
And the final question really is about this action, ingenious though it was and long in the planning, given its indiscriminate nature, does it amount to a war crime?
Well, what Israel would say is that unlike rockets fired into northern Israel or whatever, these were targeted at Hezbollah fighters. They were supplied to the individuals, and that those people who were killed near where these devices went off, including children, would be, as far as Israel would argue, are legitimate, are collateral damage of a legitimate targeted attack. And in international law, that probably is true in that they weren't the targeted individuals. And you know, the international law does allow for individuals who are targeted, where there are people killed near them, to be killed as if it was in the same way that if you're firing a hand grenade or a bomb or whatever. So although there have been calls to say this is a war crime, I think actually Israel's probably on safe grounds in saying that actually in this case, those casualties that were inflicted are collateral damage.
Professor David Dunn, Professor of International Politics at the University of Birmingham, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.